Jesus, what a wonderful name, what a lovely name. And I just want to speak tonight for a little time on the name of Jesus. The portion of Scripture was read earlier from the opening chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, where the angel said in verse 21 concerning Mary that she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The appearance of the angel to Joseph, as we have it recorded here in the Gospel of Matthew in the chapter 1, is one of my favorite passages of Scripture when it comes to the incarnation story. We have the utmost admiration for the man in question. His godly example, his wise assessment of the whole situation that was before him, his gentle approach to what really seemed to be a terrible scandal, his loving dealings with Mary, his espoused wife. So many would have taken another way. They wouldn't have chosen the way that Joseph chose. They would have jumped to hasty conclusions without waiting upon God, as Joseph did, and without seeing if there was another explanation. It's just the nature of fallen humanity, which loves a scandal and delights in making public examples of others, especially of God's people. Not so with Joseph. He was kind. He was gentle. He was considerate, thoughtful. And we have to say, in the words of Scripture, slow to anger and gracious. The word espouse, as we have it here, is a stronger term, a stronger relationship than today's engagement. In Bible times, when a young woman was espoused to a man, it was practically marriage. Everything in the sense of marriage except that physical relationship between the man and the woman. The espoused wife was promised. The espoused wife waited patiently for the day when there would be that public celebration of the wedding. For such a young woman to be found with child under these circumstances, when the husband was not involved, when another man was not involved, was indeed an awful situation. You couldn't blame any man or any community jumping to conclusions. However, the godly character of Joseph is wonderfully exhibited in his thoughts and his actions. It was read tonight in verse 19 that Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. And he was not disappointed. In those hours or days, we're not told exactly the period of time that he had to wait, but he was not disappointed in those hours or days of quiet, prayerful meditation. God sent an angel, a heavenly messenger, to make things abundantly clear as to what was happening in Mary's life, and to alleviate the fears and apprehensions that Joseph had. And so we read the message of the angel in verse 20, the second part of it, the message given Joseph, thy son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. What was happening was a remarkable fulfillment of prophecy. And Mary was the chosen vessel to make that happen. The angel brings Joseph to the written word. It's always good to go to the written word of God, to the scriptures of truth, when we are in a time of fear or anxiety or perplexity. And so in verse 22, the angel tells Joseph, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And that brings us back to Isaiah 14 and verse 7, where we have the evangelical prophet 700 years beforehand speaking about the virgin that would conceive and bring forth a son, and how this individual would be called Emmanuel. And as we find it here, the interpretation of those words, God with us. Most amazing news. These words identified the person who was to be born of Mary. And the angel speaks of this other name, this name that we're going to think about just for a little time. In verse 21, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. This would be the most common name that the Messiah would be known by. In fact, this name is the most commonly used name in the New Testament scriptures when speaking of the dear Son of God. It is mentioned something like 983 times in the New Testament. The only book of the New Testament that doesn't mention this name is 3 John, but every other book speaks of the name of Jesus. And you can see how important this name is. Emmanuel tells us who he is. We thought about that this morning. He's God. Jesus tells us what he came to do. He came to be the Savior. And we're going to give just a little attention, a little emphasis to this name, what he came to do in the incarnation, the great purpose of the incarnation. And I'm going to do something that I don't normally do. I'm going to take the word Jesus and just think of the letters of the name. We call it an acrostic. And I want to suggest to you some thoughts from this wonderful name, the name of Jesus. The letter J, I want to use to speak on justification. When we think of Christ, we think of the great justifying act of God, whereby a sinner is justified in his sight. It's a beautiful theological term that the Bible speaks about. There's a little definition given of this name or this word so that even a child could understand. Just as if I had never sinned. That's what justification is. When God justifies a man from his sin, he stands before God as one who is declared to be righteous in God's sight, one who is declared to be without sin. That's how God views the justified sinner, as one who has never sinned. And it's the only way to go to heaven. The Bible speaks about this great truth, this great doctrine of justification. There's no other way to go to heaven than being justified freely through the grace of God, through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's an act whereby a sinner is accounted holy in God's sight and free from the guilt and the penalty of sin. You see, the Bible teaches that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everyone, from Adam's day right to the present, right to the end of time, all have sinned. None are excluded in that. And they've all come short of the perfect standard of God. And the Bible tells us that our sin must be punished. There is a penalty that the law of God demands. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The wages of sin is death. And as we think of the death that is described by God in his word, it's speaking about eternal death. Death in the place called hell for all of God's eternity. Do you know what I deserve? If God was to give to me what I justly deserve, I would be put into hell forevermore. But the gospel, the good news as it is found in Christ, provides a way whereby my sin can be pardoned and forgiven, and I, a guilty sinner, accounted holy and without sin in the sight of God forever. It's a miracle of grace. Romans chapter 3 is a great chapter. I quoted from it. Romans 3 and 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But as soon as reminding the people that he wrote to about our sinnership, that we're all sinners, Paul immediately went to the subject of justification. And he said in Romans chapter 3 and verse 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And we could take verse 28, it speaks about justification too. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. And you want to think about those words, the word grace, the word redemption. The word faith, justification, comes to us through the grace of God, something that we didn't deserve. But because of Christ, because of Jesus, the wonderful Savior, and the great work that he came to do, by God's grace, a man can be justified. And it speaks here about redemption. That's what the Lord came to do. He came to purchase eternal redemption. He came to pay the price for sin. And he did that at the cross. And then we think of faith, how we appropriate this to ourselves. We believe in Jesus Christ, who he is and what he came to do. You think of our text tonight, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." If I was to think of another J, and I'm not going to do this with each letter, I would just think of a lovely hymn that we sing very often, and if time permits us, we'll sing a verse or two at the end of this service, "Just as I Am." We think of Jesus, we think of justification, but I think of "Just as I Am." There's a lady by the name of Charlotte Elliott who penned the words of that hymn, "Just as I Am, without one plea." And this is how we come to Christ. There are people who try to clean up their lives before they get saved. They try to make changes before they feel they can come to Christ. But the Lord wants us to come just as we are. With all our sin, with all our guilt, we come to Christ. Believe in him, and he will justify us freely by his grace. The letter E for me tonight stands for eternal life. Jesus Christ came through his justifying act to give eternal life to those who believe. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The sentence of death hangs over the sinner. That death that we have mentioned already, that the Scripture defines in clear terms in the last book of the Bible, in the book of Revelation, that death is described as the second death in the lake of fire. And that's what we deserve. But Jesus came to give us life, to save us from that eternal death. He came to cleanse us from our sin and to give us life eternal and life abundant. There's only two places in eternity. One for the unrepentant sinner who dies without the mercy of God, who dies without the forgiveness of sin, who dies unjustified. And it is that place that is called hell. The other place for the justified sinner. And it is the place that God Almighty has opened up to those who believe, the place that is called heaven. Heaven, the place of joy, the place of bliss, the place of contentment, the place of the no mores. No more sin there. No more sorrow. No more sickness. No more suffering. No sad farewells in heaven. As the hymn writer said, "All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be." I wonder, where will you be when you die? Have you got eternal life? Well, you can have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. J for justification, E for eternal life. Then we come to the middle letter and the first of the S's in the name of Jesus. And that would speak to me of security. We believe in security, eternal security through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "I give unto them," referring to the sheep there in John chapter 10. It's all about the shepherd and the sheep and how the shepherd has given his life for his sheep. And Jesus says, "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." And eternal life means eternal life. That's what the grace of God does for the sinner, justifies the sinner, makes him right in the sight of the Lord, declares him to be righteous and fit for the kingdom of God, and brings us at last to heaven where we are secure forevermore. The true Christian is secure for time and for eternity. The salvation we enjoy in Jesus Christ is forever. There's nothing that can prevent that. I'm kept by the power of God. I'm not trusting in my strength or my ability to keep myself. I'm trusting in the Lord who has saved me. I am hidden in Christ. We'll see in a moment we're joined to him. We are united to him. One of the most powerful arguments for eternal security is found in the last two verses of Romans 8. What a wonderful chapter Romans 8 is. But it reminds us there of the fact that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I am persuaded, said Paul, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Justification, eternal life, security. And then we come to the U of Jesus' name. And that speaks to me of union. I have union with Jesus Christ. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And this he did through the blood of his cross. It is the blood that takes away our sin. There's no other way. There's only one sacrifice for sin that has been offered forever, and that's the sacrifice that Christ made when he came to die, to take away our sin. But part of what Jesus Christ does for his people in salvation is to bring them into personal union with himself. We become one with him. We talked this morning about the life of Christ and the death of Christ. And in a very real sense, we lived in him. And we died in him as our great representative. We are in Christ Jesus if we're saved. This is our security. He's the head, we're the body. He's the vine, we are the branches. We are united to him. John Murray said, union with Christ is the central truth of the whole doctrine of salvation. I wonder tonight, are you united to him? Are you in Christ? You see that little expression of being in Christ? It is used 216 times in Paul's letters. It is used 26 times in the writings of John. Are you in Christ? That's the all-important thing. Do you know him? Are you united to him? And then as we come to the final letter of the name of Jesus, I want to think about the word seek. Seeking him. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. That's your responsibility. God commands us that we are to seek the Lord in salvation and in redemption. This Jesus who came into the world to take away our sin. As sinners, we have a responsibility to seek him in salvation. And we are to seek him while he may be found. You know what that's saying to us? There's coming a time when he'll not be found. There's coming a time when he'll not be near. My friends, it'll be too late to seek the Lord then. But we are to seek him while he may be found and while he's near. And in a gospel meeting like this, there is no doubt that the Lord can be found and the Lord is near. He's right beside us in this service. Beside us as a Savior who is able to justify us and give us eternal security and union with himself, so that we will be safe forever and go at last to heaven, saved by his precious blood. This is how you receive salvation. You seek him. But there's a glorious truth that is taught in the scriptures. Jesus seeks the sinner too. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. It's a wonderful thing that Jesus seeks sinners. And it's a wonderful thing when the two come together. As the Lord in this meeting present with us is seeking out the lost, if you in turn seek the Lord in salvation, it's a wonderful thing when the two meet. You can have a meeting with Christ tonight. You can find him as your Savior. Jesus, what a wonderful name. There's so much in the name of Jesus that we could talk to you about tonight. But I just want you to think of those things that were set before you. May the Lord give you grace if you're not a Christian, if you're not saved tonight, to call upon the name of the Lord. I thought about the incarnation this morning, how Jesus came into this world, was born in human flesh, came to be the Savior, to live and die for us. This is the confidence that we have. Is it your confidence tonight? Turn to him. Seek the Lord. Do it now. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, we thank Thee for this meeting tonight and this carol service. We thank Thee for all who have taken part. We thank Thee for truths that have been sung tonight. We thank Thee for the Word of God that has been read in our presence. We thank Thee for the name of Jesus, the wonderful name, the precious name, the lovely name. Lord, there are those in this service and they do not know Him. Even at this Christmas time, as we think of the incarnation that Jesus came, in loving kindness Jesus came, there are still those present with us and they're strangers to grace and to God and they're outside of the Lord. And, oh God, we're heading towards the end of another year and still they're lost in their sin. We pray tonight earnestly that if there is one in this meeting and they've been brought again to hear the gospel, brought face to face with their need of God's salvation, that Thou will speak to them now, that Thou will give them grace to seek the Lord, call upon His name, find Christ as their Savior. We thank Thee that Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. And He's seeking tonight, seeking in this very meeting. Lord, may the sinner seek Him. And may there be a meeting with Christ, a meeting that will change the life and save the soul. Lord, give the grace that is necessary for the sinner to call upon the name of the Lord. Bring salvation to this house, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.